Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. I'm your host Tom Haynes, and we're going to continue through our journey through the FAA's En Route Academy. We've been going week by week, and I've kind of been giving you a bird's eye view of what to expect from each week. And today we are on days 36 through 40, which is going to be week 8. And we are in the radar portion of the academy. We finished on radar. And we are in radar. You've already done all the radar lessons. And this week continues your computer message practice, and there will be lectures on the computer messages, CBIs for you to do, which are computer-based instruction, and labs for you to get practice on the keyboard entries and things like that. And so that's going to be on day 1, 2, and 3 of this week. On day 3, you're going to start getting into the radar lab procedures, which is what the FAA likes to call their SOP. Okay? They don't call it standard operating procedures. They call it radar lab procedures. And that is going to be about a 9-hour lesson. And I will tell you, it should not be the first time you've read it. Definitely read it during one of your weekends. Just spend some time reading the radar lab procedures. Okay? And it better not be the last time that you read it. Because when you go through it in the class, in the lesson, you're not going to totally understand everything that says. You're not going to understand it until you actually go through it. And it's the same thing with the non-radar lab procedures. You need to read those over and over and over again. I had one student in a class that read the radar lab procedures into his phone and recorded it so that he could have a recording playing as he's reading it later. And then he also provided that recording to his fellow classmates who wanted it. Great idea. If you learn visually, you know, or orally, it's a great way to continue to listen to and continue to think about the radar lab procedures. You need to know the radar lab procedures better than the evaluators. And that is saying a lot, because that's all they do. Okay? So you need to know those procedures and those rules. They're going to be your rules for what you can and cannot do in the radar lab. And so just to kind of drive home that point, the SOP, the radar lab procedures, the rules that you have for radar and for non-radar, going back to non-radar, look at them this way. It's not just to show what you've done wrong. Okay? They can help you show what you did right. But they can only do that if you know the rules. I like to play golf. I like to play soccer. I've coached soccer. I'm not good enough at golf to coach golf. But in playing and coaching, you have to know the rules, because you can make those rules work for you. I have played golf where I hit a bad shot. It ends up on the cart path. Well, you get a free relief from the cart path if you know the rules. And that free relief from the cart path also got me away from a raised bed of plants and flowers and maybe even a tree that were between me and the hole. The nearest relief from the cart path got me away from that. and I had an open shot to the green. Okay. But knowing the rules helped me in that situation. It didn't hurt me. And I've used my knowledge of the rules in playing soccer and coaching soccer and refereeing soccer to, I've used those rules to my advantage as a coach and to my team's advantage as a coach, and said, hey, let's try something like this. You know, it's perfectly legal. Sometimes I have to go up to the referees and explain what might happen to make sure that they understand the legality of it. Okay. So that's how important knowing the rules are. You can't do anything in air traffic control unless you know the rules. And that's going to just get even more involved at your next facility. When you go past the academy to your facility, whether it's a tower or a center or a TRACON or whatever, you are going to have to know the rules. Now, do you have to memorize them where you can say, well, that was chapter 6-1-3? No. But you do have to have an understanding of what the rules say. Now, if you need a reference, there are ways to get the reference, and you will have a really good idea of where that is. But do you have to be able to pull that reference, you know, off the top of your head at any single moment? No. No, you don't. But you need to know what they are. And it's even more important as you're trying to pass the academy to know exactly what is expected of you by the FAA. And that is regardless of which option you're going through. Tower, en route, terminal, radar, N90, doesn't matter. You have to know the rules, and you have to know what the FAA expects from those rules. Okay? Now, I will make this comment, and it's kind of a bizarre comment, but hear me out. The rules are optional. And what I mean by that is you don't have to follow them. There are no rules in life, really, that you have to follow. Now, there are consequences to not following the rules. Okay? And there are consequences to not following the rules at the academy. If you choose not to follow them, then there's a really, really good chance that the FAA is going to say, you know, it's okay. We're not going to continue your employment. Okay? But in reality, the rules are optional. But if you want to continue to have a job as an air traffic controller, you're going to need to follow them. And so you might as well get used to that now. The radar lab procedures, like I said, I would read them 4, 5, 6 times. You're going to go over them again while you're in the lab, in the breakout room. Okay? You're going to go through them this week as part of the lesson. If those are the only two times that you have read it or even consider it, then there's a good chance that you may not succeed at the academy. You have to know the rules. Okay, now, day 4, you also have the CKT2 test, which is worth 5 points. It covers radar, the radar lessons, and non-radar lessons. While I was there, it was about 67%, 33%. 67% radar, 33% non-radar. And so there's quite a bit of non-radar on there. They do not want you to forget and just toss away everything that you learned from non-radar. Now, a good study for that test are all the end-of-lesson tests. Oops, Tom, I threw away all my non-radar stuff. Nope, can't do. No can do. Gotta keep it. Gotta keep it. Throw it away on the last day as a celebration after you pass. Okay? Do not throw it away after the last day of non-radar. No, no, no. keep it. You're going to need it. But study the end of lesson tests, and that will give you a really good handle on what's going to be on the CKT 2. Okay? And then the last day of the week, you have training on the communication system that they use in the radar lab. It is very, very like the system that's used in all the centers. They use, at least they used to use when I was at the center. It was called VSCS. The system they use in the labs is the simulated version of that. So it's SVSCS. And you'll get some instruction on it in the classroom. And then you'll actually get some time to practice it in the lab. And used to, when I first started at the academy, and actually for about the first, I want to say, year and a half, maybe 2 years, this practice in the lab for the VSCS was horrible. Didn't accomplish anything. And then one of the lead instructors came up with a four, maybe five page set of calls for his students to make and then receive, and he handed it out to his students, and they called each other back and forth. And what they would do is they'd have half the class in the lab, half the class in the remote lab where the remote operators work, and they would call back and forth. And he used it in his class. Well, the FAA got wind of it, looked at it, and said, this is wonderful. It is now part of the training for everybody. And I will tell you, game changer. As far as getting used to how to make calls and how to receive calls, which is all you're going to be doing as the radar assistant / D-side. You're going to be making calls. You're going to be taking calls. Okay? And that practice is huge. You combine that practice with the radar phraseology guide that is out there on Discord. And those two things are the best things to happen to the radar portion of the En-ROUTE Academy probably in the last couple of decades. Those two documents are huge. And so get, and I'm pretty sure that the lab portion of that is also included, that everyone gets a printout of it. And so use that. Use it to practice. Use the radar phraseology guide to practice. Pardon me. Do that, and you'll have a leg up on how to say things and how to call. Okay? And those are the two biggest things that you're going to be doing in the radar lab. At the very end of it, and here again, it's dependent on some instructors go faster. Some instructors, you know, will try to give you different order. They try to block off a little more time for practice. And so, you know, this is the schedule is what the FAA gives them. And then they can mix and match within reason to get you the most practice time before you go to the lab. So the last thing that's on day 5 of week 8 is a scanning exercise. And to tell you the truth, we would talk about scanning. We would talk about different ways to scan and different ways that you need to scan in the radar lab. I've said before on podcasts that the radar needs to have your attention 75 to 80% of your time during every scenario, because that is what is happening in the sector at that particular moment. Point outs that are missed because you're not watching the radar. Your EDST, what we called it, your monitor that's in front of you, is not going to tell you that you just missed a point out. And if you're looking at your EDST and you see a red alert, oh, I need to change an altitude on one of those guys. And you just, you trial plan it, you find an altitude that's green, and you just tell the RSAT. You don't even look at the radar. You tell the RSAT, hey, descend that guy. Well, I guarantee you the FAA knows that you're going to try and do that, and there's an aircraft immediately under the aircraft you just told the RSAT to descend, and you just got a separation error. And you're going to be like, but Tom, it's my computer said it was green. Yeah, because of how the computer determines what is traffic, you can't rely on it. So when you're doing that, look at the radar. Look at the data block that you are talking to the radar, to the RSAT about. Talk to the data block. Talk to the data block. When you're doing a point out, be looking at the radar when you're doing it and talk to the data block. It helps you not get the call sign wrong. It helps you make sure that you're calling the right sector, okay, and that you have the altitudes. If he's climbing, descending, you know, or if there's a temporary altitude, that you can make that part of your point out. You'll go through all that phraseology in class. Okay, but talk to the data block. And to do that, you have to be looking at the radar, not at the monitor in front of you. Okay, I've seen so many students make huge errors because they're not looking at the radar. And that is part of your scan. You're looking at the radar. You're looking at your EDST. You're looking at the strip, the printer, making sure no strips have come off. And then you're going back. You're looking at the radar. You're going around your sector. Who's about to, you know, hit someone else's airspace? Have they been handed off? Is it a point out that needs to be done? You're constantly looking. You can run your vector lines out 2-4 minutes. They stay on 1 minute. You can go out 2 minutes. You can go out 4 minutes. And look. And be intentional about what you're looking. Don't just go, okay, I looked around. You know, a scan of the radar takes time. It doesn't take a whole lot of time, but it does take time. And remember, you're part of it being a safe operation. And at the academy, you're the huge part of it being a safe operation. Okay, and I can't say it enough. Scanning, you're going to have to get a scan. You're going to probably, over the course of the radar lab, have several different scans that you work on, that the instructors talk to you about. You know, find one that works, number one, and that is comfortable for you and is something that you can do day in and day out. And that is what will work. And you may have a different scan than your classmate. And actually, you probably will. Okay? So, that is week 8. You're going to do a lot of computer message. You're going to have instructors in, and they're going to tell you their life story. They're going to tell you how they would pass the academy. So you're probably going to get 4 different versions of how to pass the academy. And, you know, take it all in, but don't feel like you have to remember it all. You're going to get plenty of practice, and you're going to get plenty of practice doing the computer entries. Okay? And then In a couple of weeks, actually maybe 2.5 weeks, you're going to have a computer message test. It's called the checklist evaluation. And so, you know, but it's not really something you study for. It's something that you practice, and it's something that you practice in the lab and you practice outside the lab. Okay. So that is week number 8. You do have the CKT2. Realize that the CKT2, it is important. All the tests are important. You want to get as many points as you can. But, and that's a capital B, capital U, capital T. But the other things that you've been studying, the phraseology, how to do point-outs, how to do manual handoffs, how to do manual point-outs as opposed to an automated point-out, those things are what are going to make or break you in the radar. Not whether you got a 97 or a 90 or even an 80 on the CKT2. Okay, and most people, if you study those end-of-lesson tests, you can do very well on the CKT2. So, don't spend a whole lot of time on it. Maybe a couple hours for a couple of nights in a row studying up on it. But the bulk of what you need to know were actually in last week's lessons. How to do point-outs, how to do handoffs, how to handle emergencies, how to handle military change of destination. You're going to get into that, and you're going to get to practice all of that starting next week, starting week 9. Okay? So, that is week 8 in a nutshell. That's the bird's eye view of it. Thank you all again for listening. Thank you so much for continuing to be a part of this audience. Please give us a like, a share, follow the podcast. It's really cool to see more and more of you following the podcast. Had one person the other day downloaded every single episode, so that was really cool to see. I hope it helps, and I hope it helps each one of you. If you're at the Academy, I say this every week, if you're at the Academy, hang in there. No matter how bad things seem, or no matter really how good things seem, things change. And no matter where you are at the Academy, no matter what option at the Academy that you're in, if you want to just talk, hey, it's a free call that you can set up. Just email me. We'll set up a time that's good for you. And we'll call and we'll talk about where you are. We'll talk about what you're doing well. We'll talk about what you're struggling with and how you might be able to get past that. Okay? Free, no obligation. I'm not going to try and sell you anything during the phone call. It's a phone call. And I'm here. I've had going on, 30 plus years as a controller, 5 years as an instructor up there in Oklahoma City. And I've worked just about every kind of tower you can. I've even worked in non-radar approach control. A tray cab, which has the radar up in the cab. I haven't worked at Tracon. That's about all I haven't worked. And 18 years at the center, or 17 years at the center. But, so, I have all the experience. Call me, and like I said, we'll just talk. But, thank you again for listening. The email is Tom Haynes at sidebysideatc.com. Pretty easy to remember. It'll be in the notes with a link. The website for the coaching programs and, you know, coming up in the coming months, some lessons, video lessons. The website is sidebysideatc.com. And again, like I asked on Thursday, if you go to the website and it's confusing, I apologize. I apologize. I'm a controller. I'm not a website designer. If you have suggestions for how to make it better, if you have suggestions for how to make this podcast better, email me. Let me know. Okay? Don't just get frustrated at the website. Let me know what's frustrating you, and we'll try to figure out a way to make it a lot less frustrating. But again, thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the audience. Thank you for hanging in there with me every week and listening to my voice, maybe soon to be a video of me doing these podcasts. Won't that be interesting? But hang in there if you're at the Academy. If you're not to the Academy yet, oh, the excitement is building. I can feel it. But just remember, you don't have to go through it by yourself. I'm here, and we can get through it side by side. Have a great day.